Continuing with our overview of Hajj, we looked at Tawaf yesterday, and as soon as Salat al-Tawaf is recited, then it is necessary to do Sa'i. Sa'i literally means striving, trying. It is a search. It is a movement with a aim. And one is actually playing the role of Sayyidah Hajra, who was left in the wilderness and running out of water, did not just sit and cry helplessly, but was hopeful and determined in her search for water, going from one mountain to the other. Sa'i starts at Safa, which means pure love for others, and that ends at Marwa, which means the ideal for human beings. So in Sa'i, there is a destination. It is wajib after Salat al-Tawaf, walking 7 times between the rocks of Safa and Marwa. It is sunnah for men to do the harwala, which means to sort of walk fast, to hurry between the 2 green pillars between Safa and Marwa. It is recommended to recite Du'a-i Qumail on the mountain of Safa for rizq, for an increase in sustenance, and Du'a-i Mashlul on the mountain of Marwa for maghfirah. And when you've completed Sa'i, then one must perform taksir, which means to clip some hair or nails. And this now removes one out of the state of ihram. And we find that besides hunting and other things, all the forbidden things that were during ihram are now halal. Now comes the main part of Hajj, which is the Hajj al-Tamattu. Again, this starts with ihram. And although the first day of Hajj is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, it is better to be in ihram on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Tarawiyah. Tarawiyah is actually dream. It is the day of the dream of Prophet Ibrahim when he actually realizes that this is one that is to be actualized. It is mustahab to perform the niyyah of ihram in Masjid al-Haram, either at Maqam Ibrahim or Hijra Ismail. And immediately after the niyyah, talbiyah is recited. And as in the ihram of Umrah, all 24 things become forbidden with the same sort of philosophy. Now the first thing after the ihram is the wukuf, or the pause in Arafat. So it's wajib to be present at Arafat on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah from Dhuhr to Maghrib. It's said that this is the place where Prophet Adam alayhi salam met Sayyidah Hawa for the first time after they left Jannah. And Arafah means to know, and this is where they recognized each other. So here in the wilderness and heat, one thinks of the Day of Judgment. One thinks of the congregation of all the gathering places. And with attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we try to find one's real self. It's really searching within, really deep down. There are many, many recitations and many, many recommendations to be recited. Maybe some of them that I can mention are the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Kursi, Surah Al-Tawheed, Falak, Nas, Ayah 23 and 24 of Surah Al-Hashr, Ayah 55 to 58 of Surah Al-A'raf, and to ponder over these and why these are recommended at Arafat. As soon as the sun sets in Arafat, then there is another movement. This time there is the wajibat of the wukuf, or the pause, in Mash'ar al-Haram. And Allah mentions it in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 198. He says, فَإِذَا أَقَذْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. When you migrate from Arafat, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mash'ar al-Haram. It is wajib to be present in Mash'ar between dawn and sunrise. But it is ahwat to remain there after Maghrib on the 9th, that is the evening of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. It is mustahab to sort of stay in the middle part of the plain of Mash'ar, pick 70 pebbles for hitting the Jamarat, to pray Maghrib and Isha Salah with one adhan in 2 ikamas, and to spend the night in Ibadah. It is said that it was here that the Ashabul Fil, the companions of the elephant, were stoned by birds, and that's why you pick up your pebbles there. So after the phase of knowledge in the plains of Arafat, in the wilderness of Mash'ar, you turn to the remembrance of Allah. And the stars of the night and the silence and the bareness of the wilderness, they're full of lessons and inspirations. I remember on both times that I went to Hajj, just looking at the stars, just taking nature all inside, being in touch with nature, gets you in touch with your God and your consciousness. Mash'ar actually means consciousness. And understanding, and it is a stage of insight and subjectivity, and it only comes after knowledge of Arafat. It is a stage right between Arafat, which is knowledge, and Mina, which is love and Iman. You know, you've got to choose your pebbles. And these pebbles are to arm yourself for the enemy. So these are the arms that you arm yourself for the enemies in Mana. And you've got to follow the rules of battle. If you hit one less than the recommended number, your Hajj is not accepted. So you've collected your arms now. You've pondered. You've thought. And the military atmosphere changes to spirituality. And you look forward to the battle of the conscious of the next day. Prophet Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidah Hawa met at Arafat, and on their journey towards the Kaaba, they spent a night at Muzdalifah, which means a place where a night is spent. And this is literally the strait between Mash'ar and Mina. Often Mash'ar is referred to as Muzdalifah. Now, as soon as you get to Mina, to your battlefield, then there's a stoning of the largest pillar or Jamarat, stoning of Aqaba in Mina. And it's really the longest pauses in Mina, because Mina signifies hope, faith, and love. It's the greatest moment of Hajj. As soon as you've stoned the greatest of those, the biggest of those Jamarats, then there is the Qurbani, or the sacrificing. But let me just talk about the stoning first. See, the three shaitans, as they're called, they're about 100 meters apart. And it was in Mina that Prophet Ibrahim a.s. told his son of his dream of sacrificing it. And the three idols literally represent shaitan, who tried to tempt Prophet Ibrahim a.s. not to follow the orders of Allah. For us, they also represent wealth, profession, and knowledge, which without iman become idols. If you don't have iman with these three, they become our goals, our idols, our source of worship. And you kill the greatest idol. You disable and kill the idol within you. Incidentally, it is mustahab to do wudu and to recite Allahu Akbar every time you throw your pebble. Once you've sacrificed, once you've stoned rather, the Aqaba, then there is an animal of sacrifice, which may be a camel, a cow, a goat, or a sheep. It must have no defects. It must not be very old or sick. It must have completed its fifth year. There are various rules to it. You can either go to slaughter the animal yourself, or you can appoint an agent. But each person must offer his or her own qurbani. And it represents the sacrifice of Ismail by Ibrahim. He was not only Ibrahim's son, but he was the result of her whole life's expectation. And in Mina, we must sacrifice our own Ismail. You know, to sacrifice, to offer an animal instead of our Ismail is a sacrifice. But if it was just sacrificing an animal just for the sake of it, then it's butchery. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it so beautifully in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 91. He says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Never shall you achieve righteousness unless you spend out of what you love the most in the way of Allah. And finally, the taqsir in Mina, which is the it's wajib that after sacrificing, for men to shave off their hair completely, which is known as halak, and women to clip a little of their hair and nails. And it is mustahab to bury these hair and nails in Mina. Then remains the staying in Mina on the nights of the 11th and the 12th of Dhul Hijjah, which is wajib. And here it's a time to sit together with all other Muslims and discuss the purpose of Hajj, the problems, to congregate with them, and a time to interact, a time to network as such. It is Mina where a united community will promise to participate in doing good deeds and fighting the evils in the lives of human beings. It's so important. And in each day in Mina, there's a stoning of the three Jamarats. Again, these are the three things. I mention again the three Satans or Shaitans in our lives, with which without iman become idols. Power, wealth, and knowledge. The wajibats that are left are the tawaf, the salatu tawaf, sa'i, tawaf al-nisa, and salatu tawaf, which are very similar to the ones we saw that were done in Umrah tamattu. It is also mustahab to perform a farewell tawaf, known as tawaf al-wida, and again, two units of salatu tawaf after that. And, you know, this is a place to do dua. Raise your hands in dua for hajat and maghfirat, and ask him to let you come back again and again.